The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And without him, not one thing came into being. What has come into being in him was life. And the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify to the light so that all might believe through him. He himself was not the light, but he came to testify to the light, the true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world came into being through him. Yet the world did not know him. He came to what was his own, and his own people did not accept him. But to all who received him, who believed in his name, he gave power to become children of God, who were born not of blood or of the will of the flesh or of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and lived among us. And we have seen his glory, the glory as of a Father's only Son, full of grace and truth. John testified to him and cried out, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me ranks ahead of me, because he was before me.'" From his fullness we have all received grace upon grace. The law indeed was given through Moses. Grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has ever seen God. It is God, the only Son, who is close to the Father's heart, who has made him known. The Gospel of our Lord. Please be seated. I'm going to be a little off center. I've got the sun over here. I suppose I could stand here and I get a little glue. I'm going to try and pull a Jeffrey, but I've got a backup in case it doesn't work. Many, many years ago, on December 25th, people celebrated the birth of a child. His name was Fred. Do you know that? His birthday's Christmas Day. Happy birthday. Birthdays are wonderful things. One year, I got to celebrate over 100 birthdays. No, it wasn't me. I worked for McDonald's and I did magic shows at kids' birthday parties. But still, 100 birthdays in a year, it's... Oops. Excuse me while I move the sheep. Stepped on him. We call those birth stories nativities. 30 years ago, I had a profound experience of a nativity, of a birth. I was leading a grief support group, and one of the members happened to be an OBGYN, and in the fall, she just offhandedly asked me if I'd ever seen a baby born. And I had actually planned to do that when I was doing my chaplain training back in the 80s, but it never happened. So I said, no, I hadn't. And then she said, would you like to? I said, well, sure. Thinking, yeah, what's the odds of that? You know, at that point, I was a Catholic priest. No kids. Well, several months later, she said, well, the mom is soon to deliver. Are you still interested? So this woman, a total stranger, allowed me to be present when her son was born, which was obviously an incredible honor. I did not see her again for 18 years when her son, that child, graduated from high school. But we kept in touch every year at Christmas time with Christmas cards. That's how much, and I initiated that because that's how much it meant to me, and she responded. And so we kept in touch during that whole time that child was growing. And that was an amazing experience of a nativity. And when I taught at Salpointe, I taught almost every religion course they had, but one year I was teaching the New Testament class, and I realized my students didn't understand the concept of a nativity. You know, they hear the term, and I think they thought it meant the little creche that St. Francis invented. But it simply means birth. So I had them go home and research their own nativity stories. Oh my, was that a great class. Some of them found out they were in the same nursery at TMC together. One of my favorites was the one whose dad put his mom on a motorcycle and drove over speed bumps to try and induce birth. But these kids, I mean, they had no idea. They had never asked their parents about them. I found out I was a twin, and my brother, my dad was driving my mom to the hospital, and the police officer pulled them over because they were speeding. And when he realized the situation, he said, follow me. And so my dad starts following the officer to St. Vincent's Hospital, which I actually got to see a few months ago in person. Anyway, my twin brother who came first, he crowned my, and so my dad passed the police officer because he didn't want my twin brother born on the sidewalk. That was my nativity story. So nativity stories are just amazing things. And hopefully maybe, if it's possible, if some of you know your own nativity stories. And this is the season of the nativity. And we have various nativity stories. Now, the first gospel written was Mark. There is no nativity story in Mark. He starts with John the Baptist. And of course we know Luke's story, which we heard at Christmas, is the story of the shepherds. And Matthew, which will be next Sunday, if we celebrate Epiphany, will be the story of the Magi, the wise men from the East. So those ones are the ones we typically know about at Christmas time, the ones we picture. We always confuse the two because we put the shepherds and the wise men in the same scene. But they're really from two different Gospels for two different reasons. But what about John? Where's John's nativity story? Well, he actually has one. And if you were listening to Mother Anita on Christmas Eve, you got a kind of a glimpse of that. It starts off, you know, we're used to once upon a time when we start stories. But in the Bible, it starts, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And as Mother Anita pointed out, sounds very familiar. In the beginning, where have we heard that before? Oh yeah, Genesis. That's the nativity story of our world, of our universe. It's the cosmic nativity story. And John, who is the mystical evangelist, connects Jesus with that first nativity in Genesis. He was with God in the beginning. And he writes, what has come into being in him was life, and the life was the light of all people. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not overcome it. And that symbol of light fills Christmas. I mean, we have Christmas candles, we have Christmas lights on our houses. Light is one of the symbols of Christmas, and the symbol of life in the midst of darkness. And it's no accident that we celebrate Christmas in December. Most historians figure Jesus was actually born in the spring because that's when the shepherds would have been about. But we have moved Christmas to December because of the winter solstice. There was an ancient Roman holiday that marked the end of the darkness as the light begins. And so a few days before Christmas, on December 21st usually, we have the winter solstice, the shortest day of the year when there's the most darkness and the least light. And then after that, the days get longer again. The light returns. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. The Word became flesh and lived among us. Incarnation, Emmanuel, God with us. I'm quoting now from Father Steve over at Grace St. Paul's on his Christmas Day sermon. He says, "This morning on this beautiful Christmas Day, we get a totally different Christmas tale, our cosmic Christmas story. We get to hear the Christmas story that starts at the beginning, the very beginning of time. When we read in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, in the beginning, when God created the heavens and the earth was a formless void, and darkness covered the face of the deep, while the wind from God swept over the face of the waters. Then God said, 'Let there be light.' And there was light. And God saw that the light was good. And God separated the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. And there was evening, and there was morning, the first day." And so we celebrate from the beginning of creation the gift of light, and then the new light, the light of Christ, Christmas. There's one more nativity I would like to tell you about, but first I have to go over the Christmas tree. Father Fred and I have two things in common. We like props and we share the same anniversary of our ordinations. The other nativity I'd like to tell you about, now this is not a tribute to Maggie Smith and Harry Potter. It's about a show some of you may have seen. It's a movie that just came out called Wicked. Anybody seen it besides me and my wife? Oh, has anybody seen the play? Oh, a few of you. We actually like the movie better. It's easier to follow. But in the beginning, and I'm quoting there, of the movie, there is a nativity scene. Now, if you've seen the posters, you've seen the green witch with the hat. Her name is Ephaba. And, which by the way, that's a conglomeration of the three initials of the original author of the Oz books, L. Frank Baum, Ephaba. Anyway, in the very beginning of the movie, there's a nativity scene, a birth. And it's the birth of Ephaba. And she's born, and the people look, and then the looks on their faces is not so good. There's a bit of shock, awe, not in a good sense, because Ephaba is green. And as I'm watching the movie and watching the scene, I had this epiphany and this reaction to, this is not a welcome birth. This is not a happy birth. The birth of Jesus was not happy for everybody. Herod was not too pleased. But as the movie was progressing, and I won't tell you much more about it, but I kept asking myself, what does it mean to be green? Ephaba was green, and that's critical to the story, if you haven't seen it. What does it mean to be green? So I started to think about who else is green in our world, well, in our society. Frankenstein's creature. How many of you have seen pictures of Frankenstein at Halloween? The creature, he's green. That's not the way Mary Shelley portrayed him. In the original novel, he was jaundiced. He was yellow. He only became green in the 1931 movie, when the makeup artist used green makeup because they were using a chromatic film and green picked up light differently. And that's how Frankenstein became green. But we think of this monster, all monsters now are green. Aliens are green. Go to Area 51. Go to the little gift shop, all the aliens are green. For those of you that are Marvel comic fans, the Incredible Hulk is green. Of all the superheroes, he's the one that everybody's afraid of because he's green. Even a Muppet, lovable Kermit, he has a song he sings about it's not easy being green. What does it mean to be green? It means to be feared, unaccepted, not welcome. Who are the green people in our world? As we read in the gospel, Jesus came to his own, and his own people did not accept him. Jesus came for the green people. Jesus came to be green. From his very birth, Herod wanted to kill him. Until the day the people wanted Barabbas instead of him. How green can you get? Green enough to be crucified? When we read the Gospels, they all have one thing in common. All of these nativity stories tell us that the gospel is all-inclusive. In Luke's nativity, he has the shepherds who were the lowlife. They were stinky, they were smelly, they didn't follow the law, they were the anawim, they were unacceptable. Matthew's gospel has the wise men from the east telling us that this gospel is not just for the Jews, it's for the entire world. It's for everybody. It's all-inclusive. In John's nativity, the cosmic nativity, what has come into being in him was life. And the life was the light of all people. The true light, which enlightens everyone, was coming into the world. What does that mean to us? We must ask ourselves, who are the green people for us? Who are the people we have the hardest time accepting? Who are the ones we're most likely to reject? We have a mission by our baptism. We must be the light in this world of darkness. Our nativity is not the story of the day we were born, the day my brother crowned ahead of me. It was the day we were baptized. My nativity did not take place on August 21st. It took place on October 7th, for that was the day I was baptized. And by our baptism, we are called to be a light to the nations, to bring the gospel, the good news of great joy to all the people, but especially to the green people. As Jesus began his ministry, he went to the temple and he unrolled the scroll and he read from Isaiah 61, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. She has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." To reach out to those who are green. Amen.